The Greek said to Philip, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And still today, people come to churches and read books and spend time in meditation seeking the same thing. They want to see the one who can bring them to peace, make them whole, and bring them into union with God. Those who would see Jesus would know communion. The word communion comes from a Latin word which implies a mutual participation. Webster tells us that it is an act or instance of sharing, intimate fellowship or rapport. You can see where this is going. Communion involves communication and results in community. Another way to talk about this would be to use the language of relationship and of intimacy. God gives to the prophet Jeremiah the promise of a new covenant, a new level of relationship and of intimacy. God promises that He will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. As a result of the people will know that God is their God and that they are the Lord's people. The new covenant implies a new community, which means a transformed way of approaching life. The one who ultimately makes this possible, who incarnates the divine will to relationship, is Jesus. The early church saw in His life and His actions the fulfillment of what Jeremiah had prophesied. In our lesson, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." It's a lesson that has inspired many and brought even more up completely short. It's one of those hard sayings of Jesus that makes us a little bit uncomfortable and places a demand on us that we don't particularly want to hear. Jesus is telling us that we have to die to ourselves. In fact, He comes right out and says it. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it to eternal life. When the seed goes into the ground, its hard outer shell slowly gives way, and the germ of the plant is able to take root and then grow. As a result, a single seed will be far more productive than if it had remained as it was, stuck in its individual shell. So it was with the life of Jesus. He was open to receive what the Father had for Him. He was willing to take the risk of leaving His self behind for the promise of a greater harvest. He planted His life, and it continues even today to bear fruit. One author talked about how Jesus was the highest achiever imaginable, but that He accomplished His highest achievement by remaining open to the Father. In our society, it is the high achievers who succeed. The high earners are the ones who are respected. The haves, not the have-nots, who are our heroes. I'm afraid that our society will always choose competition over cooperation, property rights over personal rights, concentration over distribution, and accumulation over purpose. Our educational systems no longer have as their objective education for citizenship, but rather education for competitive production in the marketplace. To accumulate more, I'm afraid, is the basic value lesson our young people are being taught in society. And as one magazine put it, more is never enough. Given what we read in the papers and on the internet, what we hear on television, helps this ring rather true. Many thought that more was never enough. But why? I think because self became more important than the other. Because my good, my desires, my way became more important than the common good. The message of the gospel stands in the face of this view, reminding us through the life and the ministry of Jesus that there is a different way, a different value, a law written on the heart, which will lead us to communion and to union with God. We're united as Christ experiences the pain of the passion, as it reverberates over the entire cosmos. This perhaps is the point Jesus makes at the close of today's gospel lesson, when he said, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." All suffer, and now in Jesus, the suffering servant, God knows and shares and transforms it. Our response of communion then is to open ourselves to God's invitation to friendship and to intimate union. As we make our response, we'll discover that we're able to relate in new and more open ways to the people and even to the world around us. We'll see each other with a renewed appreciation for the wonder that is the human person. We'll see the beauty of the earth again, because we'll be seeing it as God meant for us to see it. I would invite you to see Jesus today, and then to go out to live as though you have seen Jesus. In fact, if the new law is written on our hearts, it should bear fruit in our lives, shouldn't it? Maybe the most practical thing that we can do is to simply live as though we really believe what we say we believe. Too many people these days see God as otherworldly and unreal, which reduces those believers to having faith in faith. But they'll have little faith in God. For God and His world are just not real to them. They may believe in believing, but not able to rely on God. Like many in our current culture who love life, but in practice are unable to love real people. They may believe in prayer and think it quite a good thing, but be unable to pray believing, and so will rarely, if ever, pray at all. I personally have become convinced that many people who believe in Jesus don't actually believe in God. Now, by saying this, I don't mean to condemn anyone, but to cast light on why the lives of professed believers go as they do, and often contrary to what they sincerely intend. I'm not trying to condemn anyone, but I do want those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ to take it seriously, to make a difference in this world, beginning with ourselves and with this community of faith. If we really believe what Jesus tells us, well, we should live like it. Practically then, take time this week. Start today. to spend some time in prayer. Open the Bible and spend some time with it. And seek to show God's love in the way you behave toward others. Remembering, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And your neighbor as yourself. And every day we say the Lord's Prayer and say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's not rocket science. It's simply living out the reality of what we say we believe every day. But if we live this, it'll lead us to a much more intimate rapport and a mutual sharing with God and with each other. If you would see Jesus, then look inside yourself and then look around. After all, didn't he tell us that our actions toward others were as though they were done to him? Our response is communion with God and with one another. Begin today. Begin today.